T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Robert in the air, left field, Gordon back, at the track, it is over! The Sox are in first place! Luis Robert sends them there! 5-2 your final score!
Joe Ostrowski here, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Going to bring in our friend Josh Nelson in just a quick moment, get his reaction to the White Sox doing absolutely nothing. And Lance Lynn staying put. They must have been asking for some astronomical prospects. Get to that in just a quick moment. Went upstairs during the break. My son was upset that I'm doing work at night because he wanted to go practice baseball, even though it's pitch black dark out there right now. Two homers today. See, the ego's getting out of control now. He had two homers on Saturday, and he's told everyone who he's come in contact with about it. And he hit two more homers tonight. So it's ridiculous. I told him the White Sox don't need him, though. But the Cubs on the north side, maybe they could use his help a little bit. Let's bring in our friend Josh Nelson from the Sox Machine. Josh Nelson, he was up early. He's tweeting out all his trade proposals. He's trying to make something happen, trying to put a deal into existence. Even though I think in the back of his mind, Josh knew that his White Sox were not going to get anything done. But he was all aboard the Lance Lynn train, and he went absolutely nowhere, Josh. You're doing better 5 hours later?
You know, it's kind of curious in what the Texas Rangers are thinking at this moment. And yeah. I'm trying to get a better understanding what's happening down in Dallas. And from what I understand, the thinking is that John Daniels, the general manager of the Rangers, and maybe a little pressure from ownership, is that if they couldn't get a big haul for Lance Lynn or Joey Gallo, that they would be satisfied having both of the players on the team for next year, hoping that they could have fans finally attend games at their new ballpark and kind of give the impression that they're going to contend in the first half of the 2021 season. And if they're not, then they can move both of them next trade deadline. So I'm not expecting either player to be dealt in the offseason. And Lance Lynn has been pitching really well, and he's cheap. The Rangers only have to pay him $8 million next year. So they didn't get the haul that they wanted, and they're perfectly satisfied holding on to both Lance Lynn and Joey Gallo. And that's unfortunate for the White Sox because I think that they could use some starting pitching help, and evidently the price was too rich for their blood and for the New York Yankees and for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Theo Epstein said in the past many times that if you aren't doing anything at the trade deadline, it's really a wasted opportunity. And that's why you've got to be buyers or sellers. But I think you're on the right track there with the Rangers. David Sampson, he was on my show in the 6 o'clock hour, and he brought up the new stadium thing. And that's exactly what he's thinking. As far as Lynn, let's have that conversation since it is trade deadline day. I get the hesitation to give up, let's for the sake of the conversation, let's say multiple top 10 prospects. Because for the Dodgers not to bite, the Yankees not to bite, and the White Sox, according to John Heyman's report, you knew they were asking for a ton. I understand teams that were hesitant. Because in a normal season, when you look at his numbers, a 1.93 ERA, but a 4.15 xFIP. a batting average of balls in play only at 197. Normal season, you're going to see a correction there. But I'm sure the Rangers' approach was, yeah, you may think that, but this is a seven-win player last year. And it's carried over to this year. So we have every reason to believe that he is an elite starting pitcher. You have to assume that's how those conversations went. And the other teams, like the White Sox, were probably saying, no, he's still Lance Lynn. He's much closer to a two and a three than a one.
Yeah, and I think what helped Texas is that Mike Clevenger came off the board pretty early on Monday with a pretty significant deal with San Diego. And I like Lance Lynn. Is he an ace? Probably not. But if the White Sox had acquired Lance Lynn, he would have fit really well as far as their rotation, not in 2020, but also 2021. That's why Lance Lynn was a target for these teams, is because the Yankees are going to need another starter, and the Dodgers may need another starter to help out with their rotation for 2021. And you're not going to find, Joe, a quality starting pitcher of Lance Lynn for $8 million in 2021. So I think that's why he had so much interest. And that's why Mike Clevenger had so much interest, because he had multiple years of control. But both of these starting pitchers are cheap. I'm also a bit surprised that Dylan Bundy did not get traded from the Angels. He enters in his final year of arbitration next year. It's an unknown cost, but it's not going to be a great cost. And the starting pitching free agency market next year is not overwhelming. I mean, we're going to be talking about that Jose Quintana is one of the top free agent starting pitchers in the offseason. And nobody considers Quintana a number one or number two, maybe not even a number three starter anymore. So that's kind of how the market was playing out. And again, Texas had every right to ask for what they were asking for. And at the end, it just doesn't appear that they were persuaded to move Lance Lynn. And that unfortunately comes to the White Sox's demise as far as this trade deadline, where they kind of leave empty-handed, sort of. They did get Gerard Dyson, but they didn't do anything to help out as far as their pitching gaps.
Yomar! Yomar?
Sure.
No, I agree. I understand what they did, and I want to see what they have. And they know the window just cracked open a month ago, and they're going to be in go-for-it mode, you would think. See, we don't even know the playoff format moving forward, but you would think they're going to be buyers at the next 4 to 5 trade deadlines if this thing goes right, and they want to have the prospects for those future years when all these guys are in their prime.
Well, maybe. We'll see. I think the one lesson I'm learning, Joe, from 2020 is don't take anything for granted.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to have to move season by season. And the other thing, too, again, the Padres made, like, what, 6 trades in 48 hours? A ridiculous amount of trades. The Padres did not touch their top 5 prospects. And the San Diego Padres have the best depth, in my opinion, of prospects in all of Major League Baseball. So they're not going to go away as far as to keep making deals and to continue to leverage these 18 and 19-year-olds that they draft and sign and try to flip them when they think it's time to buy. The White Sox don't have that. And in this rebuild, that's something that's really lacking right now, is that Rick Hahn is short of tradable assets. It's great that they have Michael Kopech and Andrew Vaughn, but they're counting on Michael Kopech and Andrew Vaughn to help produce in Chicago. They don't really have anyone behind them that draws a lot of interest from other teams. Rick Hahn mentioned that a lot of teams are interested in Dane Dunning, but now you need Dane Dunning to pitch for you.
Right.
So they don't really have any other attractive prospects right now to deal. And that's why I don't really think the situation is going to change all that much for next season, unless Garrett Crochet really starts off hot. But why would you trade your first round pick right away And your teenagers that you draft in the second round as far as pitchers, why would you give up on them so quickly? So that's going to be something moving forward, is that the White Sox, as far as trade capital, they are lacking right now in this regard, and they're going to have to spend more money. And we'll see if any team is going to be spending serious cash after a season without fans in the stands, Joe.
With Josh Nelson, Sox Machine Podcast. He hosts that, SoxMachine.com, at SoxMachine_Josh on Twitter. I want to go back to your point on the Padres that you made a moment ago, because you're someone who covers the draft every year and you follow a lot of these prospect rankings. Do you like what the Padres did with that big move for Clevinger? We know about all the other pieces, and now you have two new catchers there, but just looking at this Clevinger deal and what they gave up, did you like that move?
I like them getting Clevinger, because now you got Clevinger and you got Chris Paddock, and that's a good one too. And I think they have to be bold. I think they have to be bold because they have the Los Angeles Dodgers in their way. There is a giant in the National League, and this is something the Chicago Cubs are going to have to deal with as well. The Dodgers have been awesome this year. They're playing at a whole different level from everybody else in Major League Baseball. The Padres and White Sox are fun. They're fun to watch night in, night out, but they're not playing at the same level as the Dodgers. And that's the difference for the White Sox, is that there is no giant in the American League. Every team seems to have some type of flaw to them. Right now, the Yankees are struggling to get a hit off Tyler Glass now. So the Rays appear that they're going to extend their lead in the American League East. And if the Buffalo Blue Jays, I didn't check their score, but if they had won, then suddenly, Joe, Buffalo, the Blue Jays, have caught the Yankees in the standings. We're going to be talking about the Yankees struggling to be in the top 8 seeds at this moment in the American League. Wow. They would be the 8th seed. So that's just kind of – that signifies is what's going on in the American League. You know, Houston's starting to play better baseball, but they've hit bumps in the road, and they're not as strong as they were last year. And you look at the division leaders right now, they have some serious flaws to each of them. Tampa's playing great, but they got so many players on the injured list. They're really going deep in the barrel for depth. So the American League is anyone's race, where in the National League, everyone has to defeat Goliath. And that's why I like the moves by the Padres. It's odd that you're changing out both catchers halfway through a season, but at least that they're trying, because the Cubs didn't make any significant moves. The Braves didn't make any significant moves. And I'm sorry, I don't like either team's chances of going up against the Dodgers. At least the Padres are giving themselves a fighting chance to take on Los Angeles.
What about my Reds? Come on now. At least they're 15-19, but I'll tell you, Josh, they have what you need. If they can just figure it out, like Suarez and Votto have been so unlucky to start the season, but the top of that rotation with Bauer, Gray, and Castillo, if they can find some pieces to work for that bullpen, they could make a run.
Sure, but I can't explain what's going on in Cincinnati. I can't, Joe.
Like, I know.
Every time I watch them, I'm like, why are you not better? Like, you shouldn't be 15-19. You should be at least 19-15. Like, I don't understand.
How is it even possible? I don't even know how they have that record with the numbers their starters are throwing up.
Well, their bullpen is trash. I don't want to be, you know, that insulting, but the Reds' bullpen is trash. It's just terrible. And they addressed it, though. And, you know, that's a good thing. They got Archie Bradley from Arizona at the last minute. I like that deal for them. I'm jealous. I wish the White Sox had made that deal to shore up their bullpen. but the Reds are trying. And instead of just, like, folding, when a lot of people would look at them and say, maybe you should trade Trevor Bauer, they're going to give it a shot. And I like that as far as baseball for so long, the last couple of years, at this stage of the season, when you're past the halfway point, it's pretty much decided on who's going to make the postseason. But with eight teams in each league making the playoffs, it'll make it a lot more interesting, Joe, when you have teams more involved in the mix. And I'm glad that the Reds didn't fold up shop, and they're going to go for it. A second place is definitely within reach. We'll see if they make it.
Have you gotten any biters, any nibbles at all on your Angels ticket?
If you want my Angels ticket, I will sell it.
You offered it the other day, right?
I was, yeah. It's plus 600. Great odds. Great odds.
To do what?
Mike Trout is on the team. No, I did not get anyone to bite. That is,
no.
Wow, that's another team I watch, and it's like, Joe Maddon, man. What is going on in Anaheim?
Yeah,
that's a bad team.
And then they wouldn't sell. Like, they can't look in the mirror and admit, we suck. Like, what are we doing?
I know.
Trey Bundy.
I know. Well, they're gonna try again next year. Just chalk up 2020 being a terrible year, COVID, everything's out of whack. To them, it may not count. We'll just try again next year. I think that's the thinking with the Angels. But, again, that's another team that you look at. Get Anthony Rendon. Like, what's going on? You guys should not be this bad.
Yeah. I would – it sounds like you would strongly disagree with me, but I actually – while I've criticized him for many, many years, I do agree with Rick Hahn's approach this year. And part of it is that I'm not taking anything for granted and the window just opening up here, but a big part of it for me is you went over it, man. Where the Yankees are sitting right now, look at this path, and I know it's baseball, and you can be the hot team, but to be the hot team, you need a rotation from front to back to be pretty strong, and I just don't know that that's going to happen this year. But look at you talk about in the National League taking down the Dodgers. Is it more challenging to take down the Dodgers over the course of one series, or is it tougher to go, okay, Yankees, now you got the A's, and then you got the Rays? Like, that's possible that you have to deal with that.
Yeah, that's a gauntlet. That's definitely going to be a gauntlet in the American League. But I would still say the Dodgers would be the tougher test because that's a hungry team. They are the Buffalo Bills of the early 90s. And I think they're tired of being the Buffalo Bills of the 90s. And the fact that they got Mookie Betts now in that lineup, that's just devastating. That is a hungry, hungry Dodgers team to try to, in this weird 2020 season, win the World Series, their first World Series since 1988. So I think try to get through the Dodgers would be the tougher gauntlet. Back to Rick Hahn's comments. The only thing that I'm a little disappointed in is the fact that he knew that Aaron Bummer has this issue with the bicep right now, and it's uncertain if he's going to be returning this season. If you knew that your bridge reliever, a key cog in your bullpen, that you're not sure he's going to come back, I would have liked the White Sox to try then to add a reliever to give another dependable arm to Rick Renteria to manage as far as the bullpen, because you're really testing out the kids like Cody Hoyer and Matt Foster to pick up some really critical innings, some high leverage situations. They will be tested in the upcoming weeks. That's my only complaint that is lingering now, is that's something that Rick Hahn should have addressed at the deadline, was just add another arm to give to Rick Renteria for the bullpen. Because right now the White Sox solution with their pitching gaps is hope nobody gets hurt and hope the guys that are rehabbing in Schaumburg heal fast. And I guess that's a plan. I don't really like that plan, but it's a plan.
If I gave you $100 to bet on any team to win the World Series tonight, which team would you take?
Rays. This is something that you and I talked about. This is a chaotic year, and there's no team that embraces chaos better than the Rays.
Yep.
And they just find a way, Joe. And, you know, if you ask baseball fans, you know, list 1 through 9 the Rays lineup, they may struggle to name half the guys. They only have 3 starting pitchers. But as a collective unit, they do such a terrific job of the next man up and to continue to produce results. And that's also another hungry team. And they have a hunger that they want to show up the New York Yankees this season and let them know that we're not going to fade away. And that's a team. Easy money would be the Dodgers. But if there's any team to get better odds than plus 200, I'm sure it's the Dodgers World Series odds at this moment. I would take the Rays.
Josh Nelson, SoxMachine.com. Josh, appreciate you jumping on. I thought you'd be a little bit more upset, but I do feel a little tension. There's a little tension. You're a little upset that they didn't do something, because you got a big Sox Machine podcast coming up on Thursday. I'm sure you figured you're going to have a lot to break down. They would at least shore up the bullpen or something, right?
Well, right now the White Sox defense is giving me a lot to talk about in the upcoming days.
That's why they got Dyson, man.
Yeah, Jared Dyson will fix that. Yeah, but no, it's great to come on the show, Joe, and thanks for having me on again.
SoxMachine_Josh. Make sure you follow him if you are a big Sox fan. All right, we have a first final. Well, not our first final, but we have a final in the NBA tonight. We're going to do this again, Jordan Malley? We're going to do this thing again when the Bucks get knocked out way too early after everybody says they have an easy path and they're going to represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals. We're going to do this again. They lose game one to the Miami Heat, 115-104. Jimmy Butler pours in 40. I don't know what the hell was going on with Giannis. He only scored 18 points in 36 minutes. He's the third leading scorer on his team behind Middleton and Lopez. We're going to do this again, Jordan?
I really hope not. I really hope not. But this it's not a disaster of a take or anything like that. And a lot of people had it, but the Heat are a good team, man, and they're so deep too. That's been Milwaukee's problem for a long time. Is they don't have any bench depth. At least nobody that shows up in the playoffs. Look at all the guys that they had on their bench today. Bench today scored a total of less than 20 points for you. You can't score less than 20 points and expect to come away with a win. And especially when Giannis had three fouls in the first half.
Little gripe I have. I don't know if you find this annoying, but I find it annoying as a sports bettor. Do we have to start the next round when we still have the first round going on?
Yeah, that was a major issue with me yesterday. I was so rattled. I was like, wait. The Celtics and the Raptors are playing right now, and we still have two series going on in the West. I get why they're doing it, but it rattles me.
I mean, we have Rockets Thunder, and they're not even at seven. They tipped off, and tomorrow we've got Jazz. It's like it's ridiculous. So we're gonna have the Celtics and Raptors start Game Two. But we're also going to have Game 7 from the first round between the Jazz and the Nuggets. That's silly. Man, we could have the Celtics and Heat advanced easily, and both of them have 1-0 advantages now. Or am I being ridiculous, and is it going to be chalk in the end? Is it going to be Raptors and Bucks and moving on?
I'm going to have to watch Spoelstra's game plan in two and seeing how they deal with Giannis again and see what adjustments Budenholzer makes. But again, that Heat team is so good. And once they get on fire from three, there's no stopping them. And I don't think the Bucks have the 3-point power to match those guys. So it's Giannis
NBA
or nothing. It's Giannis
that.
Or nothing.
NBA does not want to see that. They don't want to see the Celtics or Heat. Those are nice markets. They're major markets, but they want their superstars. They want Giannis. And I know Toronto doesn't have the name value, but at least you know they're a solid team and they've been there in the past. And that'd be a cool story getting there without Kawhi.
I agree with you. And I think that they're another team with a lot of depth, no outside of Siakam, no real known names in Lowry too, but still no real known names across the entire team, but a ton of depth and a ton of guys that play defense.
Right, no question. So Houston OKC underway. The White Sox are losing to the Twins by a score of 4-0. And as Josh alluded to, defense has been the issue there tonight. In hockey, Boston and Tampa Bay tied at 1. They are midway through the third period there. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Got Score Rewind coming your way at 9 o'clock, and we'll hear from let's keep it with baseball. I want to hear a little bit.
Rick Hahn, you know, just because he signed these players, he hasn't won anything yet. Everybody just needs to calm down.
You're right, and actually, that's still relevant tonight. On August 31st, after the trade deadline, some of the reaction I'm getting is, oh, you're saying the window's wide open. They haven't won anything yet. Yeah. What, so we can't have the conversation about what they're going to be until they actually win a playoff game? Is that what we're going to do? They have a 98% chance of making the postseason. They're going to be in the playoffs.
Everybody and just needs to calm down.
If they win anything, I mean, come on. They are ahead of schedule. A lot of them still don't know what they're doing yet. And they're in a tie for first place. Maybe they won't be in a tie after tonight, but they're still in a tie for first place, and they're going to be in the playoffs. That is the lock. Come on. All right, let's go to Rick Hahn. And this is from this afternoon. After the trade deadline passed, his Zoom call with the media, and this chunk that we bring you of the White Sox general manager starts with him talking about Michael Kopech, because they go up and down the line, whichever playing the player, coach, front office member, they don't want to talk about what's happening with Michael Kopech, and he doesn't even want to address some of the rumors that are out there.
Yeah, I don't want to really talk about any rumors, because again, they historically we've tried to make clear the amount of weight that people should give to unsourced information that's out there in any form of media. I will say we, as I told you, when we discussed Michael originally opting out, we still view him as a premium piece on a very good team for a long time. So in order to be motivated to move someone like that, we'd have to feel we were having something similar walk in the door. So we still think very highly of Michael.
Lamon Pope.
Hey, Rick. Just what was it like trying to navigate through a trading deadline during COVID-19?
You know what? I think last time we spoke, or maybe it was the time before, someone asked me about what I expected for the deadline. And I think I explained that I thought it was actually probably going to be relatively quiet as compared to past years. And quite frankly, I have to say over the last 5 days, it's been very similar to most every other year in terms of the amount of dialogue between clubs and the various level of intrigue or strategy involved in terms of setting the team up. So that it was much similar, much more normal than I anticipated it being in terms of the volume of dialogue. I think there's a fair amount of trades. I don't know how it compares to last year. Obviously, with the expanded playoff system, there were probably fewer sellers than in your normal season or in previous seasons. But again, there was still a good amount of dialogue, which about 2 weeks ago or so, I did not foresee.
Vinny Duber, how do you guys feel about your starting pitching depth right now and your rotation in general past Lucas and Dallas up top?
And obviously they've done a great job. Dane Dunning has certainly staked his claim to a spot in that rotation based on his two opportunities so far this year. Lopi is still climbing his way back, and Carlos Rodon had a nice outing yesterday in Schaumburg and then is a potential option for us here in the not-too-distant future as well. This has been a good year thus far for Cease in terms of climbing, in terms of his development, in terms of some of the mechanical things that they've been working on with him. He's shown progress, but there's still the opportunity. That's one thing over the next 2 months here. We're going to have this young group go through a pennant race. We're going to have this young group, ideally, knock on wood, be competing deep into October. Those are invaluable experiences for young guys, whether it's Cease or Kopech or a guy like Dane Dunning, to experience that and have that something to fall back upon for the next several years as we hope to continually to be in that spot. I don't think any of the 30 teams are going to tell you even today that they feel comfortable with their pitching depth. Just give the nature of how pitching works and the injuries throughout the game. But as we sit here today, we like the options that we can trot out there.
Do you see Carlos returning from the injured list and Dane coming up here now as kind of those mid-season pitching additions that you might have thought of, specifically Carlos coming back from injury in a normal season, as you talked about earlier.
Yeah, we did. We originally did talk about Carlos coming, you know, late July initially and rejoining us during a normal season, and that would be like a trade acquisition back in Glendale when we first talked about his timing. So in some ways, Carlos can be viewed that way. You know, we had a lot of interesting conversations, not just externally, but also internally about how some of the guys out at Schaumburg can potentially help us over the next few weeks and months. You know, it's an interesting year. It's a unique opportunity to give young guys some opportunity, a unique chance in a unique environment to get guys exposure to a pennant race. And, you know, we've got some internal options that we may, in addition to the guys like Rodon, that we may well give an opportunity to here over the coming weeks and let them get their feet wet in the midst of a pennant race.
Rick, understanding that you're not necessarily in a rental type of acquisition mode, but there's at least one pitcher who moved in this market who you might consider has character issues or questions. As you're getting closer to competing in your first place right now, does that become an issue where you're wondering if you're going to go for a guy whose background you might consider a little bit more questionable, or is that something you're always going to steer away from?
Well, look, I'm not going to obviously comment about any other player or someone who got traded. What I will tell you is that yesterday, Ricky, Kenny, myself, and about seven sort of veteran-type players on this team sat down and had a very candid conversation about where we are as an organization and the clubhouse culture and the chemistry in that clubhouse. And I have to say, I think we all came out of there very impressed with the environment that's there on a daily basis and the commitment of those veterans to maintaining that environment and their level of confidence in terms of not only what this team's capable of doing over the next couple of months, but over the next several years. So that matters to us. That matters in any acquisition, whether it's today, off season, you know, the last several years in terms of the players we've targeted, being able to fit into that environment and being able to continue to move this team towards a championship culture. You know, that's a consideration on all acquisitions, has been going back to when this whole thing started with the Chris Sale deal.
White Sox general manager Rick Hahn with the media this afternoon and before tonight's game, just explaining why they feel that the right path for this team was to take a pass. Just let's sit this one out and let's see what we have at the end of the 60-game sprint, because we know we're going to, at the very least, get some playoff experience with these young players. Joe Ostrowski here on Sports Radio 670, The Score. I'll be here till 10 o'clock. How about on the Cubs side, on the north side of town? They are enjoying their off day today, but it was a trade deadline, so the front office was pretty busy. They made some minor moves, but nothing too big. We'll hear from the Cubs GM, Jed Hoyer, next. Joe Osho, 670, The Score, and the Radio.com app. It's strange to play only 34 games, and here we are at the trade deadline, and the Cubs, they had to figure things out. We buyers, we sellers, what are we going to do here sitting with a 3.5-game lead and a 20-14 record? The record says we're pretty good, but are we really only playing in the National League Central and the American League Central? Quite the advantage there, and that's one of the reasons. It's what we have to work with. But it's one of the reasons I do wonder, once they're going to be in the postseason, but once they get there and they branch out to some of these NL West teams like the Dodgers and the Padres, how are things going to work out? Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. The Cubs made a number of small moves. They add DH Jose Martinez yesterday from Tampa Bay. Today, they trade for Tigers outfielder Cameron Maben. Then Albert Almora is sent to South Bend, and they bring in a couple of Southpaw relievers in Osich and Chafin as well. Here's Cubs GM Jed Hoyer talking about their plans going into this deadline.
You know, I think you're always looking at years of control. You know, I think that, you know, Gonzo sort of hit it on the head. You know, the left-hand relief and right-hand hitters that could hit left-handed pitching, like those are two of the main goals we had for the deadline. You know, certainly The years of control are valuable, but I think really we tried to be as targeted as we could, and try to address things that we haven't done particularly well. And I think we did that. So that was a real focus. And certainly it's nice to get those extra years beyond 2020 as well.
Jed, how do you see Maben? I know it's ultimately up to Rossi how he's going to use him, but how do you see Maben sort of fitting within that roster puzzle for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, so we just, I guess it's probably helpful to clarify. So we are going to option Albert Almora to the alternate site. Albert hasn't gotten consistent at bats. And I think as a result, I think it's just been a challenge for him to, to play sporadically and be able to produce. I think sometimes a veteran player like a Cam Maben at this point in his career, who's used to coming off the bench and pinch hitting and playing a little bit less, I think oftentimes those players in those kind of roles fit better. And we get a chance to send Albert to the alt site, and he can get a bunch of at bats and hopefully get clicking, because we haven't seen what he can do this year, and in part that's because of the playing time he's been given. So we wanted to address our ability against left-handed pitching. I think Martinez, he will, I'm quite sure, DH against lefties. Again, I don't want to make out the lineup card for Rossi. That's his job. But, with Cam and Souza coming back and Martinez and with Bryant coming off the DL, hopefully we can start to, take better swings against lefties and improve that part of our game that's been lagging, certainly, in the first half of the season.
I realize you've been busy today with trades, but do you have a progress report on Chris and Souza? Based on what they did today?
We're optimistic on both guys. I think they should be ready fairly soon. I don't want to make any announcements about tomorrow, but I don't think that's out of the picture for either guy. I think they've come along nicely. It sounds like today was a good day to take in batting practice for both of them. And, I think they're both getting real close.
Yeah, did Chatwood get a look at, did your doctors take a look at the elbow today, and did he have to get an MRI?
He did, yeah. And I'm still waiting to, to get a kind of a final readout from those guys. But I'll wait till tomorrow to go through it. I think, every expectation is that he's gonna be on the injured list, and it's gonna be a little while. I think we can kind of go through the specifics, I think, tomorrow when we had a chance to go through the details. But yeah, it was left. I think it was a flexor, a pronator strain, he'll take some time now, and hopefully we're certainly hopeful that he's back this year. I'll say that, but we can get into the sort of details of the injury, and he can kind of talk through his progression sometime tomorrow with you guys. But it was largely good news with his MRI.
Hey, Jed, I know you guys over the past couple of years, you've acquired a lot of guys whose numbers may not have looked great in the first half, and they come to a winning team and mm-hmm. they start to kind of figure things out, whatever it is. Can you just kind of speak to that idea of when you're on a bad team and then you come to a winning team in a playoff race, suddenly things kind of come together and can kind of rejuvenate someone?
Yeah, I think it happens. I do think that I think veteran players that are in losing situations, a lot of times, that adrenaline that isn't there. They're not quite as focused. And those guys are used to playing on winning teams and focused on things beyond their own numbers. And yeah, I think sometimes that little extra, going to a winning team gets that little extra, 5%, that little extra spark that can lead a guy to having better numbers. And I look at, Hamels will probably always be the poster child for us with that, where, his stuff was phenomenal when we got him, and he was terrific. And then obviously with Castellanos last year. So, that's certainly something we look for. I would say also, it was really difficult this year going through players and realizing that this is the equivalent of May 10th or something like that in a normal season. And, trying to remember that on the one hand, you want to get guys that are playing well, you want
it's a short season. And, you know, if a guy's swing is messed up or they're not totally healthy, they're probably not going to help you over the next 27 days. But at the same time, you know, there's probably a lot of guys whose numbers don't look fantastic that are going to have, you know, they're going to have really good, you know, one month segment, I guess, which is the rest of our season. And so it was certainly something we thought about a lot is how much weight do you put on what's happened so far, given the fact that we're not making trades after 4 months like usual. We're making trades after 34 games. And you got to think about those small samples, you know, watch a lot of video and kind of try to put everyone's numbers in context because, you know, batted ball luck or a couple bad outings really skew your numbers that much more when you're talking about a small sample like this.
Hey, Jed, when you looked at, you know, your guys' stance and how aggressive you were going to be going forward, I mean, got up to that great start, and with so many teams making the playoffs, I mean, it's a fairly good bet that you guys could roll right into the playoffs wherever that might line up. But you've also got a guy like Darvish pitching as well as anybody in the league, which when you start getting into playoff series, starts making October look a little different than it might otherwise. How much did that play into just how aggressive you would be within your means to go out and try to do something?
Yeah, listen, I think this year has been, you know, such a strange year for everybody. And I just think our players deserve so much credit for, you know, what they've gone through. And really, players all around the league, but, you know, certainly all we can do is talk about our own players. And you know, I think that these guys have, you know, in some cases been away from their families, but certainly, you know, they've been behaving as well as possible. They've been, you know, clearly altering their lives in so many ways in order to you know, perform and, you know, traveling and staying in hotels, you know, during a pandemic. And, you know, our guys, they've played exceptionally well. I think we played great for the first 2 weeks and had a little bit of a lull, but that's normal. And we really believe in this group. And I think that given the sacrifices they've made and given how well they've come together, it felt like the right thing to do to try to address some deficiencies that our group had. And, you know, I think left-handed relief is an area that we needed to help and give Rossi some more options. And then certainly, and we've all seen it, you know, our performance against left-handed pitching has been lacking. So I think we just felt like, you know, this group has earned, you know, that right for us to go out and make additions. And, you know, certainly you're right. Like the playoff is different. You know, normally in this situation, you're viewing the playoff picture differently with a, you know, one division winner and the wild card getting a one game playoff. But, you know, our goal here is to, you know, win as many games as possible, hopefully, you know, be able to get a good seed and in this tournament, and then to keep playing for a while in October. And we felt like we needed to make these additions to, you know, to make that possible.
Cubs general manager Jed Hoyer this afternoon after the Cubs made some minor moves at the deadline. And that all makes sense. That jives with what they've said year after year. We're in first place. You've earned that right. There aren't going to be many more years with this entire core together, Rizzo, Schwarber, Baez, Bryant. Not all of those guys are going to be together moving forward. Maybe one of or two of them go in the offseason. Who knows? But, yeah, as long as they've earned that right, they've put themselves in position for a playoff spot, which they've done, 97% chance they're going to be in the postseason. So the Cubs are going to tweak a little bit. We know they say they don't have much money, but it's also pretty telling. If they thought this was a championship roster, we know what they do when they think that they have something. They get risky. They get wild. What's the over-the-top move? Well, there isn't one because there are multiple holes on the roster. But it's going to be fun seeing both the Cubs and Sox in the playoffs this year. Joe Ostrowski here, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Fun stuff planned for Score Rewind. We'll go to football with Hub Arkish, Major League Baseball with John Morosi, and my conversation with David Sampson you may have missed earlier. It's going to be a lot of fun, some real quality content. That is next on 670 The Score and the Radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.